We're in lesson 38 in Ephesians chapter 4. And just to recap a little bit, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You have a high calling here. You know, that's what we're recapping here a little bit. The high calling, but you are to walk how? Lowly. Not that we're walking up here, I'm holier than thou, you know, that type of thing. I hope we don't do that. We need to walk with lowliness. And you walk and not allow the high calling to puff you up and say, look at me, I've got an attitude that I don't, you know, there's nothing bother me type of thing, because we need to walk, and that's a walk of lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearance. That's what we're talking about there. We are to endeavor to maintain, to keep, and guard the unity of that that you have in Christ. And the spiritual unity, guys, is the fact that it's based on the doctrines that he lists in verses 4, 5, and 6. Verse 4 through 6 says, there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now, there's seven ones there that we looked at in the past. Seven is a number of completeness. So they're not 12 gods, they're not 12 lords, they're not 12 baptisms, but they are 12 baptisms at least. But the one we recognize is one baptism, and one spirit and all, and one faith. But one God and Father of who? All. That means one God and one Father of all saved people, who is above all and through all and in you all. I say the saved people because once you understand that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, you become a part of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's doing, and he is above all. But he's also above all the unsaved, isn't he? Whether they want to acknowledge or not, he is God, he is Lord, and he is Father, and he is the Son and Holy Spirit. That means one God. And is it very possible that all four of those alls would refer to saved people? It is, isn't it? It's not so the thing is, one God, one Father of above all believers, who is above all believers, and who is above, through all. In other words, he is above all believers. That's what I was trying to share it, right? He is working through all believers, he should be, and indwelling in the believers. And that would certainly fit with the issues that we have been describing in the previous chapters that we talk about, and how God works today in the church, the body of Christ. And that's the vehicle that he's using in operation today, his agency. He's using the church, the body of Christ, is what we're doing right here, local church. And then there's a big church, and Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Okay, it's not the head of a denomination or religious system. He's the head of the church. And in verse 4, if you look at verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, and what does it say? Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. You have the oneness of the church. One body, one spirit, and one hope. And verse 5, you have the source of that means of that oneness. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You see that? You got that? You got the oneness, and you got the source. And in verse 6, you have the author of that oneness. And that's God the Father. With me? Okay. Verse 4, you have the Holy Spirit. That's what it's referring to. Verse 5, you have God the Son. Verse 6, you had God the Father. That makes how many? You ever heard of the Trinity? Many people have. Many people don't agree with the Trinity. They think it's not in the Bible. You know, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. You know that, don't you? The word Bible is not in your Bible either. You know that, don't you? Yes, you do. Okay, okay. But the Bible means book. But I'm going to point something out to you. The book of Ephesians over and over again presents the triune God. And you probably won't find another book in the Bible that's written that consistently Everywhere you turn, focus on the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. In any other book, you won't find that. The Trinity is constantly there. And no doubt it's there because of Ephesians is focused so closely on the fact that we, the body of Christ, are the inhabitants of the triune God. And God is manifested in us, the church, the body of Christ, today. And he goes out and into the practical section, the walk section. That's how he goes out in us. And he's focused on how God today, God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit, God today is manifested through the church, the body of Christ, in our walk, in our lives, and in our ministry. That's what the book of Ephesians is about. That's where we're at right now. Once again, the book of Ephesians is about the advanced mystery truths, guys. The book of Romans is the basic doctrine that gets you saved and how your faith is there and you're dead to sin, dead to the law, and dead to the flesh. And you go on and take that application and start living it. But the Ephesians is the book of advanced mystery truths that you won't find anywhere else. And it's exciting to know that what God is doing through that. The issue in the local church will focus on the manifestation of the triune God. Hold your finger there and go to chapter, is it Timothy? Let me see. Let's see. 1 Timothy. Yeah, 1 Timothy for a second. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Just for a second. Now, the issue is local church. It's not about building buildings. As much as I love to have a building built, you know, I was talking about earlier. Like we had a 5-year plan in our business meeting, and that was 2.5 years ago. That was going to look for a building. So how are we doing, guys? We're doing awesome, man. We're doing awesome. But it's not about building buildings. It's not having wonderful music and choirs and finances and denominational structure and all that stuff. But I got to tell you, having those buildings and songbooks and choirs and soloists and instruments and programs and activities and ministry are wonderful in their places, aren't they? Mm-hmm. You know, to have them. And when they're appropriated and when they are needed. Really, they are. But where I'm going to get at is right here, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know us how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the church. Where's the house of God at? The church, isn't it? The body of Christ. Okay? It's not the building. Then it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up in glory. You know who that is? No. When was Jesus Christ ever preached to the Gentiles? That's the body of Christ right there, guys. That's us. That's us, the body of Christ is there. Verse 1, God was manifested in the flesh. Where is he manifested in the flesh today? In the body of Christ, there you go. And then it was, and where is he justified in the spirit? How do we know that? By the word, right? Verse the third one, seen of angels.
They're watching us.
We're made spectacles. Preached unto the Gentiles. That's the grace of God's being preached out there. If you know your book, Ooks, with the S, you know that the book of Matthew is about the kingdom message, that Matthew's presenting Jesus Christ as king. And when was he ever king when he was in the book of Matthew on this earth? He wasn't, was he? That's why if you look at the book of Matthew and understand it, it's about a future kingdom over here that God is taking place, that he's presenting himself. You know, the first 12 to 20 chapters, he is the son of David. He comes as son of David. He does come as king of Israel. And what did they say about that?
We have no king but Caesar.
We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. And the last part of Matthew, he's dealing with the son of Abraham. He's going to die. And when he told the 12, he says, first the sufferings,
and then the glory.
And then what?
The glory.
Where does he get the glory at? When he comes back. Amen? So that's where so to be preached among the Gentiles, that's what we're doing right now. Because God don't have a favorite nation, does he? If you know your Bible, you understand that when Jesus Christ came, he died and buried and rose again, he commissioned the 12 to go preach the same thing that he preached, to preach the same thing that John the Baptist preached. And he gave them 1 year. If you look at Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 7 or Acts chapter 8, there's 1 year in that Bible. But I guarantee it seems like forever, don't it? It seems like, man, there's so 1 year. And you got to remember what he said back there about the fig tree. When the guy was going to go cut that fig tree down. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, John the Baptist says that the axe lays at the root of the tree. John the Baptist has come to cut that religious system down. The fig tree is a religious system that God uses in the Bible for Israel. And he's going to cut that tree down. And the Lord, he said, Lord, but give us 1 year. Let us dung it. And I'll never forget the time that we came up here and had a friend that's half Greek and half Italian, and he had a fig tree. And he remembers taking it and dunging it. And he puts leaves on it and stuff so it'll come back next year. See? So he said, give us 1 year. Let us dung it. And if it don't produce fruit, what do?
Cut it down.
Then you cut it down. How many of you ever had fruit trees in your yard and they was beautiful for a season or two, and next thing you know, you don't prune it and you don't take care of it, and it starts having little bitty apples this big, and you know, but the bees and the wasps and the hornets are still around, ain't they?
Uh-huh.
You know, and you're like, I got to get rid of that tree. It's not. You cut it down. You know, you cut it down. So that's 1 year, and then they fall. Israel starts to fall. That's what the book of Acts is about, guys. You can't put your doctrine in the book of Acts because it's a shifting sand. You know, think about that for a minute. It's moving. It's shaking. And you're in a sandbox with a screen. You pile up sand in there and you start shaking it. Where's the sand go?
In the bottom.
It's unstable. So it falls. That's why the book of Acts is about Israel. If you look at it primarily, it's to the nation Israel. Paul is addressing Israel. You come to his epistles and you see a lot about Gentiles in the body of Christ. So they fall down here. So Israel's down here amongst the nations. That's why Paul is the apostle to the who?
Gentiles.
That's unsaved Jews and the rest of the nation right there. So and then he says, believe on the world. You preach this message of grace. People believe it. And then they have to make that decision. They say, okay, that's truth, I believe it. Set aside all denomination, you know, that type of thing. You got to believe the gospel that saves the day. And then received up in glory. That's the catching away. That's when we're taken out of here and God goes back dealing over here. And he establishes kingdom as he promised on earth. Go back to Ephesians. I had to share that with you. That God is manifesting in us today. That's how he sees us. You know, I think about little kids that are born and they see their mom and daddy for the first time. You know, you're like a God to them. You're the closest God that they ever have until they understand who Jesus Christ is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're
think about that for a minute.
You're their everything.
You know, you're God to them. Not that you're, look at me. You should be an example of God the Father in you towards them. But getting back to the tools that I mentioned a while ago, they are fine if they are used as tools that enhance the function and activities of life in that group. But the first thing that Paul's talking about here, as we move forward, now we came along with the first three chapters of Ephesians, and that laid some groundwork for the last three chapters. But the issue here is life. You got to have that life first, that spiritual life in the assembly. If you didn't have spiritual life here inside of you, that Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again, and the Holy Spirit didn't live inside of you, you'd be a bunch of dead men walking right now. That ain't no good, is it? You know, you need life. You got to have that life. And you don't build a box and an organization and say, okay, Lord, get in it. We're ready for you. You know, we tried that. We tried, we called 22,000 people within a 15-minute radius. We had a building. We called 22,000 people and asked you two questions. And out of 22,000 people, 1,600 people said, mail me something. And we were like, wow, okay. That's not a bad percentage if you're in a business of calling. Each week for 5 weeks, they got something from us. The day we opened up, opening day, if I can say it that way, 700 and some people said we'd be there. Now, we had a building that would seat about 300 and some people, you know, and we was like excited, you know.
Scared to death where we're going to put them all.
165 people showed up for the first time.
Out of 22,000.
So 165 people showed up. But you think about that. We built a box. And we said, get in. Mm-hmm. And then we started talking about our doctrinal statement. Then we started talking about, you don't believe in water baptism. Believe me, I believe in water baptism, but it's not for today.
Right.
I believe in tithing, but it's not for today. Okay? That type of thing. We lost a whole family one time because we sung the song, I'll Fly Away. And they didn't believe in the catching away. So gone. They flew away. But that box started shaking. And that sand started going. Okay? And we went down to a place where we bought a building. We was renting that. And at the time, the leader of the church decided he was going to put people back under tithing. Because Abraham paid tithes. Okay?
Got to pay for the
bill. All we need is 40 more people. We wouldn't have to. See what I'm saying here? You got to watch this stuff because you got to have the right spirit to say, this ain't right. Now, how do you get that spirit? The minute that you trust Christ died for your sin, don't the Holy Spirit start to reside in you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you feed that spirit?
His word.
Gravy and biscuits.
No. I mean, it's good, but it doesn't work.
You got to feed it what?
The word.
What word?
Truth.
The word of truth. The word of God. The gospel of grace. You have to rightly divide that word of truth to feel that, to get the Holy Spirit to start to move. Listen, you heard this before, and I've got it from Brother Richard, if you don't mind me saying that. The Holy Spirit that resides in you will not operate on the basis of ignorance. And you got to think about that for a minute. Okay, if the Holy Spirit is inside of me, and I think He wants me to do this, who thinks He wants that Him to do that?
You do.
You can force that to say the Holy Spirit's telling me to do that. And He's not telling you to do that. He's still there. And He's probably saying, please don't do that. Please feed me something else. And you get in the Word of God and you believe the Word of God, that you have the Word of God. It's the words that illuminates off the page, and it gets down inside that soul and that spirit, and you start rightly dividing it, and your spirit's like, yeah, and it starts to grow like a little child grows, and he's growing and they're growing, and next thing you know, he becomes a mature man. And that you can discern things back and forth. But it's that life. You have to have life, the activity of the Spirit of God. The big spirit, by the way. Not the little spirit. Not the little S. The big S. And there's a difference. But you gotta, and then you can build that structure around that. We started out 5 people. Sometimes we swelled up to 50 some people one time. Then you go back down. Then you swell back up. You know, and a lot of it has to do with spiritual life, guys. A lot of us is not where we need to be, and I can't force you, and you can't force me. So that's why each one of us has the ability. And I'm going to tell you something. As a preacher for the last 10 years or so here, I've noticed that spiritual life in a group of that fields a group mentally. You have to have the mental awareness of what God is doing, or you know something? It could drive you crazy. Because you think God's telling you to do this, and He's not telling you to do that. In fact, He's not telling you to do anything on certain things. Should I buy that house today? You know what I mean? Should I go out and buy a car or something? You know, He's not telling you to do that. You want it. Hey, I want to go to World Series. So before you leave here, there's a mission fund over here that takes me to the Progressive Field. A hostile environment that needs me there. Yeah, you say, yeah, right, Ed. You're going to go. You're going yourself. I wouldn't love nothing else. But God ain't telling me to do that. My flesh is my little spirit, you know. My baseball guy is inside of me. You know, that type of thing. It'd be the same if the Browns was in the playoffs. You'd be there. Maybe, maybe not. You might be looking at your pocketbook and say, I can't go there. But look, but the thing is, you have to nurture and stir up and focus on that developing life in the individuals and the group as a corporate body. Each one of us spiritually are differently. But don't look at that person and say, you're not where I'm at. That's the wrong idea. And you say, hey, let's grow together. You know, and you grow together. That's why if you think about how the Bible is laid out, especially through Paul's epistle, if he's the apostle of the Gentiles, he laid out some books for us, the body of Christ. That's what he's doing. He's not forming a nation of Israel. He's forming a body of Christ, which Christ is the head. And he starts out, Roman is not the first book that he wrote. Either Galatians or Thessalonians is the first book you wrote. And if you think about either one of those two books, some things has been taken care of. Walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. You know, that type of thing. Is Christ already resurrected or he hasn't? Are you looking for a catching way or are you staying behind? Those things are already settled in the first couple books. But the first book is laid out in your Bible is the book of Romans. And I'm telling you guys, you get that book of Romans down inside your soul, especially those first five chapters, justification is settled. You're justified in front of God. There ain't nobody can ever get in front of you or take that away from you. You're justified of God. That's what matters.
Amen.
You know, that's what matters. And then you look at Corinthians. It's a book of reproof. And we know Corinthians are not a model church. The things that they was doing in there, it's like, oh man, how could they take their father's wife? You know, how can they continue to be, you know, do this and this and this? And you're like, but they're saved. So Paul writes a book of Corinthians to him. He's reproofing their behavior. It's not lining up of who they are. Then you have the book of what? Galatians. That's another book of correcting their behavior. They were saved under grace, but they was going right back under that law and doing things the religious system, circumcision and joining, you know, this and that, this, you know, organizations. And Paul is correcting them, their behavior. No, 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 no. How can you be gone in the spirit and go back to the flesh? That's some serious stuff, guys. Because I guarantee you some of us has done that. And some of us has been here and went back to that. Because you know why? Aunt so-and-so's there. Or that my mother and dad started that church and I'm going there. Or my brother's there. I love my brother. I'm not saying bad anything. I'm just saying you think about that for a minute. You love them that you want to be with them, okay? You know, I'm serious. Then you think about their behavior. I'm like, it's not lining up with who I am in Christ. and you start studying. And then the next book is Ephesians, a book of doctrine. Okay? Then you got the, what's after Ephesians? Philippians. It's a book of reproof, but he's not reproofing their behavior. He's proofing their thinking. Then you had the book of Colossians. It's a book of correction, their thinking. They had the head. They knew who Jesus Christ was, but they just wasn't thinking. So you think about those things about what he's doing right there. And then you get to Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd, 3rd. You got doctrine, you got reproof, you got correction. All of it's there. And you're a mature guy. And then naturally Timothy and Titus and Philemon, it's basically how you govern a local church. But you got to think about that spiritual life and at how it manifests in us. How it manifests in us. And as you walk under grace, that's the appreciation of the response that the life of God is in you that he given to you in Christ. If I don't think about who I am in Christ, how can I walk in grace? I can walk in Ed. And I have walked in Ed.
Amen.
You should have been with us when we moving some furniture yesterday. Ed was all over that place, and it wasn't pretty. I'm being honest with you. I'm like you guys. I stumble and fall. I'm not holier than thou. But I had reminded about who I was in Christ. And you know, you sit back and you're like, yeah, I shouldn't have stumbled and dropped that. But think about it. The spiritual life and activity that is ours in Christ is the issue here in this local church. And we come together corporately and we want to know what's going on in your life and how you're doing, how's your health, how's your, you know, life. And some of you open up and say, man, I had a terrible day, or you had a great day with a neighbor. You know what I mean? That's wonderful. And we're like, praise God. Or we'd be thinking about you. You know, that type of thing. And as he manifests us, and then that it's manifested, and you walk under grace, and that's the issue of our attitudes that becomes the demonstrate in us, and that's what Paul is focusing on here, guys. He's not focusing on anything else. He don't care about the Cubs and the Indians. He don't even care about the Browns right now. That's sad, ain't it? To say that. But I'm going to move on. Now look at verses 7 through 15 of Ephesians. He lists the helps that God has given you to walk worthy. To walk worthy. God has provided some helps for you and I in our walk. He's not saying, hey, do it yourself. Let me ask you this. Can you remember, many of you got kids, many of you don't have kids, many of you have been around kids. Did you have to teach them how to walk? And then you had to teach them how to say, dad, dad. Say, dad, dad. And they say, mama first. You know, and all, yeah, they say mama first or something. And you teach them how to, don't eat them split peas. Nasty. And they, you ever notice the things you tell them, they do it anyway? Don't do that. And that's the first thing they go. Oh, it burnt.
Don't clean your room.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah. But look, you are to walk worthy. So now he gives us the helps to walk worthy. Verses 7 through 10, he focuses on the individual things. And then verses 11 through 15, now we're going to break these down eventually. I'm just giving you a little, you know, foreknowledge?
Synopsis.
What is it?
Synopsis.
Thank you. And and 11 through 15, he focused on the corporate issues. What are we doing corporately? This, if you look around right now, you're together how? Corporately. Not individually, corporately. And he's talking about the individual that God gives you, he focuses, and the other, in 7 through 10, let me back up a minute, he is talking about the individual help that God gives you as the individual believer for the worthy walk. That's your assets. Assets. You know, A-S-S-E-T. Assets. Many of it has assets in a lot of things, right? I'm not worth much, but you know, you look at me like negative. But he gives you that to walk in. And then in verses 11 through 15, he talks about the corporate group and walking together. How do we walk and talk together? Now, I got a few more minutes before we close. Verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to every one of us is given grace according to measure of the gift of what?
Christ.
You notice he starts out with but. Okay? He has been talking about, what has he been talking about before? Unity. He's been talking about unity. And he talked about the oneness and the great oneness that we have in Christ. And the doctrinal oneness that we stand by and we keep it, we hold to. And produces a great spiritual entity called the body of Christ. That's what he's been talking about here. And we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ. Then he says, but. Now he's going to contrast that unity with the fact that every one of us individually is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In other words, there's diversity in the body, aren't there? They are. There's diversity in the body. There is unity. But there's diversity amid the unity. I'm not talking about division here.
Right.
Okay? I have to get that in my mind. Because if we think about division, that wouldn't work in here to begin with. If somebody come in here right now and started disrupting and had a bad spirit and said, you're a bunch of this, that's division. That's not diversity. And you have, there's unity amidst the diversity. He says he's given us grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That accounts for diversity, guys. And the different ministries and functions in one organism of the body. That's why each one of us is different. God don't want a bunch of cookie cutter people walking around like this. You know, if you look at a body, somebody out there?
I think it's people.
If you look at the body, you got a left hand and right hand. Left arm, right arm, don't you? Left foot. They're not the same. You take your eye out, you still got one eye, but the eye don't rule over the foot. That type of thing. You know what I'm talking about. We're different here. And you take your body example. Turn to Romans chapter 12 right quick. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We'll get through this. I'm going to close. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. This is, take our body as for an example. Look at Romans 12, 3. For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of what?
Faith.
God has given to you the measure of faith. I was thinking about that in pancakes I made this morning. I measured this much flour and I measured this much milk. That's a measure. One cup. I didn't put two cups. One cup, what it talked about. And you know how what God is doing, he measures that. And when we went through Romans, which we did, we had talked about the measure of faith and the fact that God has given us a measure of faith. And each one of us is different in that measure. You understand? Some of us is more mature than others. But we all have a measure of faith. Hold your finger there. I'll read Ephesians 4 when we just read it. He said that he has given every one of us grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 4, Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, there is one body with a lot of members. We have the what? Verse 4 says, For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's one body here. We have a lot of members. But every member does not do the same thing. Right? Verse 5 says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Again, you see the issue is what? Of grace. And when we go through Ephesians 3, we showed how Paul says, and to me who am least of all the saints, this grace given. And I should preach among the what? The Gentiles. This grace is that special favor that is given to Paul in his ministry. So the verse, according to the grace that is given in us, is a reference to the ministry. With me? It's not that you got more spirit than I've got. Rah, rah, ree. You know what I mean? It has to do with the ministry. And the special privilege of having a ministry as a member of the body of Christ is given to us. And if you continue in Romans chapter 12, verse 3-6, it says, whether they prophesy, let them prophesy according to a portion of faith, and so on. And we're ministry, let us wait. The idea is that there is a mutual consideration one of another with the ministry. Not that I've got more faith. It has to do with the ministry. Ministry. In Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you think about it, the oneness that we're talking about in this ministry, we are all one in Christ. We are absolutely complete equal in Christ. God is the rich to one another of the body. He is one another. And the member is no more important than the next member. Right? I'm no more important than you are when it comes to the body of Christ. But the position that I hold is a different position. The Bible says you do double honor. So if a person in a position appears to do double honor, he's also due double dishonor if he does something bad, right? Wouldn't that be only fair enough? You might just be, spanked one time. I get spanked twice. But think about it for a minute. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 is a fantastic passage about the issue. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit. That mechanical truth, I'm getting very close, and mechanical truths about that position is the baptism of the Spirit. And we are placed into Christ, and that has happened to every one of us. And we're equal in Christ. There's none of us above equal in Christ. And verse 4, I'm going to end there because next week that might be a good place to pick up. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.